Hello, welcome to Locker Room Access. We are very, very fortunate to have a current UVA basketball student athlete member with us today, Francisco Poppy Cafaro. Big Pop, what's happening? How are you?
Good. How we doing?
We are good. So listen, when I first met you, maybe 5 years ago, summer before your first year. And I was just watching you a little bit and from a distance, and then got introduced to you. And you always have this gregarious, fun, vibrant personality. But you were like a big chunky kid.
What you mean by that?
you were chubby.
I was a little, I was not in the same shape I'm right now for sure.
Poppy, when I looked at you this year, and I watched your body, how much it's transformed, just even your face, right? Like your face shows you, not that you weren't hard to look at back then, you were cute and good looking guy, and I have no problem telling guys that they're good looking, but your face is so chiseled now, your body is like a professional athlete, you look like you're in great shape, right? You could be a male model if you decide not to pursue basketball or some other career.
That's good to know.
Absolutely. And I'll be your agent.
Sweet. Right? We'll make it work.
You could be international. Right? So, but really, what do you attribute your changing your body to?
I'm not going to see. I don't really know how to put it because I used to eat really bad my first and second year, especially. A little bit my third year, but like towards the end of my third year and towards this year, I like kind of like stopped eating too bad. I'm not saying that I was eating good, but I definitely changed a lot in the way I ate. Even if it's not right now at the point that I wanted to be with my like eating habits, it changed a lot from like what it was like 2 years ago. So I think that like helped a lot, even though like I'm about the same weight I was a year ago. I feel much comfortable with this weight and like when I play and stuff like that, which I also think that it helped to be the first year in like 4 or 5 years that I could play consistently and I wasn't like getting hurt and having to stop for a week or so. So I think that was part of it too.
So give me an example of what you used to eat and how you changed it a little bit. I mean, were you eating milkshakes every night and hamburgers, french fries?
I was eating snacks at night all the time. I like just got chocolates or like Oreos and stuff like that. It was just so easy. I would go to Crossroads, which is like right next to dorms, and like get a chocolate with the money that we get from the university, you know what I'm saying? So I would just like do that and have snacks at night. And then during the day, at night, I go to Cane's and get me a Caniac combo, you know? I would just eat like that all the time instead of just like going to a like food place we got right there, go to Old Hill and just eat there. Like just some healthy stuff, some little less healthy stuff, but like you can make it work, you know?
Well, you're a big dude, right? You gotta feed the body.
Gotta eat, but I gotta feed the good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Can't be feeding whatever.
What triggered you or motivated you to eat a little bit more healthy?
When I was in the Olympics with the national team, everybody had like wasn't the same spot. I feel like they all play pro. They all like communicate with each other. I've been playing with each other for like a couple Olympics already, so like many years, and they all like in the same program, and this kind of has a way they eat. It's like a diet, like per se, and they all follow it, and they all like do it. From when they wake up till they go to sleep every day, and seeing what like, the way they work and how they did it, I wanted to try when I was there too. I wasn't like, since I wasn't part of the program per se, part of the program that like follows this day-to-day like routine, I just wanted to try and I wanted to see how I felt. And I came back, I lost a lot of weight, I was feeling a little bit less strong. but I lost a lot of weight. My body felt better, and from then I kind of changed the way I ate, motivated from that, and I was able to gain more weight, but like feel better like I did when I was lighter.
Puppy, what else? How much did Mike Curtis influence you, and how much has he helped you change your body?
I think a lot. We don't really have like a diet like they did over there, but I feel like the way we do it in the weight room with workouts and how everybody has their own specific thing they gotta do. Like I have a back problem, they'll do something to help me improve that and also not hurt when I like do exercises to improve it and stuff like that. And I think that helps a lot to be able to continue practicing while getting better at what you do. And my back doesn't hurt as much as it used to when I first got here. I've been having back problems since I was like very young. My mom remembers when I was a kid, I was just middle of the night start like yelling because my back was just be stiff. So it's been that long. And then all until I came here, my back was still hurt when I like played for a couple of weeks nonstop, you know, stuff like that. And last year it didn't hurt a lot at all. Like I'll have one day that I wake up, will be a little sore, do a little bit of treatment and it's fine. But things like that, they helped a lot with that for sure.
Did any of the coaches recommend you to eat better?
Yeah, not as much as they do back home. Like they were really like specific about the diet and like how much it worked, and they were, you know, it seemed like it was like the best thing to do. But when it comes to America, like I don't know, the culture here is different. It's kind of like eat whatever, and take care of your body in all the aspects, you know. It's just like, even I don't know, it's like an example that I have that always like I remember since day one was going to play junior national team tournaments, and how most of the teams went only and picked kind of healthy food on the healthier side. Even the coaches will say, you're not allowed to grab pizza, or you're not allowed to grab burger and stuff like that. And then you just see the US team and the Canada team just going there and only eating burgers and pizzas. And then you go play against them the next day and they beat you by 40. And you're like, why are we doing this diet stuff? When we play against these kids eating whatever they want, they beat us by 40 anyways. So it's always something that people pay attention to back home, but here they don't really, because they don't see that it affects anything, you know. They just go beat everybody by 40 anyway, so just keep doing, you know, what you're doing, you know?
Puppy, you know who needs a diet on the UVA staff?
Was that again?
You know who needs a diet on the UVA staff?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
He knows. Listen, Poppy, we do the Jay Willie Show weekly during the season.
Okay, then. Okay. So
were we talking about the same person?
Jay Willie?
Yeah. Is that who you were going to say?
That's what I was going to say the whole time, yeah. I mean, he did good for a little bit when he got down the Mountain Dew and the Pepsi and was looking very slim, and then a couple of weeks after, it didn't work anymore.
Exactly. In all seriousness, Poppy, mm-hmm. Your numbers improved in almost every category this year, right? Mm-hmm. Your minutes played, scoring average, rebounding average, right? Which typically happens, right? There's a direct relationship between all those numbers.
For sure.
What do you attribute that to? Is it the diet? Is it being more serious? Is it your workout? Is it your commitment? What would you attribute that to?
I think it's a lot about seriousness. I'll be honest, when, like first and second year, I was kind of going through the motions and just going to practice. And when practice was done, I would go home. And when I need to be there again for practice again, I would go there and I will not take extra hours and stuff like that. Just go to work on my game. At a time that I'm not supposed to be working on again, you know? And I didn't do much of that. And I don't think I'm doing perfect right now. I want to do better than what I'm doing right now, which is kind of part of why I'm not going to go back home this summer. I'm just going to stay here and be able to work out the way I need to work out this whole summer. But I think I don't know. I mean,
what would you say, what are the areas you need to continue improving on? And how do you, you know, you never started a game, I don't believe, before this season. You weren't getting that many minutes.
I did one time, two games actually, the year before. But yeah, I, up until this year, I didn't really
consistent.
Get it. Yeah.
Right. And so you're on the upward trajectory. What do you need to continue to improve on to continue to make this team better? Like, you guys are returning potentially five starters next year. Mm-hmm. And a couple of incoming first years and a couple of transfers that are fairly highly touted. What do you need to do individually to make yourself better and the team better?
I feel like I just, every time I go on the court, I got to be able to give the same or around the same every time. I can't have a game that I'm going to come in and help the team in the areas they need me to help and then come in another game and not meet the same expectations that I did the game before. I think that's definitely one of the things I got to be able to do, just be consistent. And another one is just keep working on my games, especially in the post, with finishing when I get the ball. I feel like I do really good at getting possession and like sealing people in, but sometimes I don't make the right move or I don't go right at the time I got to go out, you know. And when I do, I got to be more consistent with the ball going in too.
There was a moment, a tough moment you had this year, right? And we all know how much you improved. I've always been a big fan of yours since, and this is not lip service. You were on the Locker Room Access show a couple of your first year or second year, and we had a good conversation. And I loved your personality then and continue to be a big fan and follow you. There was a tough moment this year during the middle of the season or toward the end of the season against Duke where you seemed to get very frustrated and really upset on the bench.
Yeah. I've always been very hard on myself when I mess up. And nobody likes to mess up, but I don't want to say something that's obvious, obviously. But when I mess up, I get really angry with myself. I don't just get mad and then, no, it's okay, you know, I'm fine. I get angry with myself. And I know, you know, basketball is all about forgetting about what's going on because what just happened, because something else is going to happen right in the next second. And you always got to be with your mind ready and stuff like that. And I'm sometimes not good at doing that, especially when I'm not doing great. Or when I'm doing good, I tend to think about something that just happened and I mess myself up in that aspect too. But when I'm not doing good, it's kind of hard for me to start doing good again because I just keep beating myself up. And especially I miss a couple layups, a wide open layup too. And then I get the ball and I go to shoot a hook shot, I get blocked, I get the ball again, and I go shoot it again, I get blocked again, ball goes out of bounds, I go to the bench, and all I was just doing at the moment is just thinking of how stupid I was and how I can do that to myself. Like, I just go out two times and I get blocked two times, that's embarrassing, you know, that's all I was thinking about, and it's not that I was, like, sad or anything, I was just pissed, you know, I was just mad at myself, like, just saying, like, you... Literally, that's how you're going to make money. You know what I'm saying? They pass you the ball, you make the layup. And you're not doing it. So how are you going to make money doing that? That's just all I was, you know, all I think about when I do things like that. And that's something I definitely got to work on, for sure.
I was going to say, so how do you improve that? How do you work on that? Do you talk to a sports psychologist? Do you talk to the coaches? Is there something just you can have a talk to yourself about?
No, yeah. I go way better at it. When I first started playing, I don't even remember exactly what I was when I played. I was just get so emotional and just like swear at the referee and like get kicked out, stuff like that when I first started playing. I forgot the question you asked me again. I go carry away back home. But what was the question again?
No, sorry. You didn't carry it away at all. It was perfect. It's just talking about how do you get out of that rut? How do you improve on forgetting about what just happened? Because to be a really, really successful athlete, you've got to have a short memory. Because everybody strikes out in baseball. Everybody misses a free throw. Everybody misses a layup. Right? So how do you get past that state?
No, I do. I talk to my mom a lot about anything that happens to me. When something's not going well, I talk to my mom. That's my favorite person to talk to when something's not going well. And she always helps me out and she always gives me advice. And then I kind of like don't like that she's giving me the right advice and it was so simple and I get mad at her. And I'm like, but I did that knowing that I didn't do it. But I just didn't want it. I didn't want it to point out the obvious and I didn't realize it. And I would get mad at her and she would get mad at me because I don't want to listen. But she's my favorite person to talk to. And I also went and visited the sports psychologist a couple of times and just spending time with myself thinking about what I really want to do and how I want to approach that.
So you're talking about your mom. Your mom came to visit you toward the end of the season and she was in New York for the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. Seemed very nice. I met her briefly. How was that for you with her living in close to you in the States for the first time?
Yeah, it was great. I haven't spent that much time with my mom since I left to go to Australia first time when I was late 15. So it was great having her for that long and spend that much time with her. But it meant a lot. It was the third time she actually tried to come. First time she had to stop in Canada and they didn't let her know she needed a visa to stop there for an hour. So she couldn't make the trip. She lost her plane tickets, all that. And then the second time, she booked the flight in a month after COVID hit. And then this was her third time trying to come over. But it was great having her. It's a little hard for her because she was like, oh, I don't care about the language. Because she always speaks no English. She said, I don't care about the language. You help me out. I was like, no, I'll help you out. But, you know, it'll be frustrating not being able to say exactly what you want to say. And she came over and then she kind of realized that she was like, I got to learn English. I got to go back home and start studying English. But it was great. Everybody got to meet her pretty much and talk to her a little bit. So it was great.
Where did she stay while she was in Charlottesville?
So we stayed in it's an apartment complex. And I got her one of the single apartments. Nice. So we could be close.
Fantastic. So, you know, you're talking about not being close to not being able to see your mom a lot. Mm-hmm. The one person you were close to on the team, I won't say the one person you were close to, but the closest friend you maybe have on the team is no longer going to be with you moving forward. Cody Statman, yeah. Who you came in with, and both, by the way, congratulations on a national championship to both of you guys. Please pass that on to Cody. Right. And now Cody has decided to leave school or to finish school and not come back, not rejoin the team.
Yeah.
Is that going to be a challenge for you? Is that going to be difficult? How do you see that moving forward next year?
I don't know if I'll call it a challenge. I was always good at being able to be away from people. I left my house and my culture when I spoke no English either to a place. There was only one person that spoke Spanish and it was one of my coaches. I came here not knowing anybody except Cody a little bit. I've been in that spot a lot, so it's not that I'm gonna be, oh, I need Cody, and I have a bunch of other teams that I'm pretty close with as well. But yeah, I knew Cody before coming here. I didn't know him very well. I just practiced with him and just live in the same complex, but he was part of the Australian Center of Excellence. And I was part of the NBA Academy. So we'll play against each other and stuff like that, but we'll be in different teams per se. But we knew each other and just coming here. We also two or four freshmen, but we were in the same room and we're both international. And we just connected in many, many ways to start with. And I was close with him. I was roommate with him. Pretty much I was doing everything together. Last time we went to Mexico for a week together for just a vacation trip, you know. It's been him like the whole time. So it'll be, I'll miss him a lot for sure, but I'll be all right.
Of course you will. Playing sports often leads to some of the most valuable relationships you can ever have, right? Mm-hmm. One of the greatest stories at UVA basketball, recent UVA basketball for me is hearing the friendship between Jack Salt and Isaiah Wilkins. Mm-hmm. So it's like a beautiful story, it really is. I also happen to know Ty and DeAndre, how close they are and have been around them. And, you know, sometimes it could be a little annoying because they act silly, but it's still, when you watch it from afar, it just reminds me of one of the important pieces of playing sports. It's so valuable and can be lifelong, and there's nothing greater than positive, great relationships.
So yeah, no, for sure. I mean, not only just like relationships. You're just gonna meet a bunch of people that could like help you out along the way in many aspects, and that's also a really important aspect of sports too.
Yep. College sports is now faced with a brand new challenge, right? Okay. And student athletes now have multiple options, right? They've got if they're really top of their game for basketball, they have the Team Ignite G League option, right? Yeah. Which it sounds like where the kid London Johnson is headed, who is going to sign with UVA. Yeah. They have the Overtime League. They have Europe or overseas, mm-hmm. not just Europe. And now another piece is NIL, which unfortunately you are not eligible for.
Yeah.
Because of your visa status?
That's correct. Yeah. The F1 visa is the visa you need to be an international student in America. And that visa does not allow you to work in the United States. Like, doesn't allow you to make money from working in the United States. So you can do an internship and stuff like that, but you just can't make money. And doing an IEL would be working for somebody, doing something for somebody, whether it's a podcast or an advertiser or anything, for money or for clothing or stuff like that.
All right, so we're gonna kickstart your modeling career after you finish school.
Sounds good. I graduate and then we'll make it happen.
So it, again, in all seriousness, how do you see, what's your theory and perspective on NIL and how it's going to change sports, if you think it's going to change it at all, college sports?
Yeah, I think it could definitely change it, but I think it shouldn't be, obviously money is the main focus of why people play basketball. It makes you happy, it makes you like doing it, but at the end of the day, when you want to be a professional, you might make the most money you can. So that would definitely be an aspect for people, especially for kids coming out of high school. They're going to look at where they can get the most people to look at them, where they can improve the most, and where they can make the most money. And I feel like they're going to start balancing out of all of those things now, and money will be probably a main one, especially for kids when they see such a big number, you know, it's like, it's tempting to say no to, you know? And I think that it's gonna have an impact. But at the same time, I think it is unfair if we're not able to use our name, image, and likeness, because why can't I? It's me. I'm the one that made it here, you know?
Right, and it's always gonna be, this is gonna revolutionize college sports.
Yeah.
And there's gonna be naysayers and there's gonna be people that support it. And I just, looking how this is going to move forward in 2-3 years, and there's so much unknown about this, so it's going to be a fascinating next couple of years. I strongly believe so. I wish everybody luck in it. I'm such a purist, college basketball purist, that I just hope it doesn't hurt it, but I can see situations where there's competition amongst the same player, student athletes, mm-hmm. who might be upset with somebody or might be unhappy because someone's getting a certain sponsorship and one guy's making more money or one woman is making more money than the other person. And does that create sort of envy and jealousy or any type of dissension? So I really hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen either. Everybody will share. It's like going to play pro. Like, you expect to make every play to make the same amount of money. You can't, you know? So I feel like it'll also be a wake up for kids that decide to do this and go to college. It's like, you want to make more money, maybe it will be a motivation for them to get in the gym and work out and be better, be able to make more money. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But it's also, if you think about it that way, you think about what you say, international people not being able to make money. Why can't I? You know, if I'm able to be here and provide money for the institution that I'm at as an international, why can I also be able to make my own money while I'm here too? And obviously it's nothing to do with NCAA or anything, it's just the visa status, but I feel like it should be something that should be in the solvent right now. You know?
All right, back to UVA on the court and not in the NIL space. What do we need to do better next year to be really successful, and how much are you looking forward to next year?
Yeah, I feel I'm looking forward to next year a lot. I think it's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be a lot of fun. To be better next year, I just think we all got to try to be more consistent. And to be able to do so, I feel like everybody has to work out and work the battle of this whole offseason and preseason and all that to be ready to do that, be consistent and be able to hang against whoever we got to play against. You know?
Does Poppy get his second national championship next year?
We'll definitely try to. So hopefully.
All right, Pop, we so much appreciate you joining us. You're always a great personality. Always love hanging out with you and seeing you. And best of luck and keep up the improvement. You did have such a congratulations on a great season last year and continued success.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.